In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is giving instructions to his disciples. He is about to send them out on their own mission. His disciples had been with him, and they had seen what he did, and he commissioned them to go out and do the same kinds of works that he had been doing. In the same way, Jesus has sent all of us out to do the works that he did here on earth. And Jesus promised his disciples that they would see even greater things than his ministry over the years. That's hard to imagine. But God is still at work in people's lives. God is still saving people. God is still delivering people. God is still giving people hope. God is still giving us meaning and purpose for life. God is still giving us an abundant life and the true hope of heaven. God is at work, and his people have been sent out. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission tells us that we are to go and make disciples. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, it tells us that we will be his witnesses. And so in chapter 10, we've already looked at half of chapter 10. It says in verse 1, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. That sounds really fun, doesn't it? Jesus saying, hey, you know these healings I've been doing? You know these demons I've been casting out? I want you to do that as well. And that might be something that we would sign up for. Wow, I can heal like Jesus? Wow, I can control and cast out demons like Jesus? I'm signing up for that. But then he begins to tell them the difficulty that they would face as his disciples. I heard a couple things this week. One, if I can remember them. One is, I was watching a football game, and one of the teams, and I'm not really tied to one team because the Cowboys are just hard to get behind, you know? I just don't limit myself to one team. And I really don't watch football because I'm that big of a fan. I watch football mainly because my brain can just idle. It can just sit there and go, woo, 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 woo. And I'm not really thinking of anything. I'm not really doing anything. It gives me a chance to just let my brain idle. But the commentator said, we don't know what's gotten into this team, but the coach must have given some really great pregame speech because this team is on fire tonight. And I thought about that when I was thinking about this passage. Because in a sense, Jesus is giving the pregame speech, the locker room speech, we might say, to his disciples. And part of a pregame speech, I've never been asked to be on a sports team for some reason, and I'm not bitter about it or anything, but I assume in these pregame speeches, you know, they tell you it's going to be hard. You got to watch out for this guy, that guy. This is part of their strategy. There's going to be some hard times, but, you know, we can overcome, and we've got what we need to do it. I assume that's part of the pregame speech. But Jesus gave his disciples a pregame speech. And you and I, as modern-day disciples, we need this pregame speech. Because Jesus is still sending people out to do the work of ministry. And guess who that is? It's none other than you and me. And so we need to look back at Matthew 10 and see, what did Jesus tell his disciples then that he would also tell us? Because Jesus' message is timeless. Am I making a lot of noise with the microphone? Something is. Some of the news is good, and some of the news is bad.
Let's see if I can still do this. All right. So Jesus is giving this pregame message, and he's told them, you're going to go do the things that I've been doing. And so beginning in verse 16, he begins to tell them some of the hardship that they would face. Now, we might be down with the idea of the demon casting out and the healing people. We might be, you know, up for that, wouldn't we? But Jesus lets the disciples know it's not all going to be easy. There's going to be some hard times. There are going to be some difficult times. Basically, they're going to treat you like they are treating me. That if you are my disciple, they're going to treat the disciple like his teacher. Another thing I heard, that was the second thing, is that someone said, I don't remember who it was, but someone said, preachers don't preach the hard stuff anymore. And I thought, well, not at Walnut Creek this week. This is a hard one. And that is that persecution is a part of the Christian life. Not everyone is excited that you are a disciple of Jesus. And you may already know that. You may have family that doesn't agree with you. You may have friends that leave you out. It may put you at odds at work sometime. But you know, those are really kind of light persecutions. They're real, but in Nigeria, thousands of Christians have been killed, and it's only because of their faith in Jesus Christ. It's not because they're criminals. It's not that they've done anything illegal. It is because they have said it is more important to obey God than it is to obey men. And thousands of them have been killed. Even our president has sought military action in places to try to curb the persecution against Christians. Let's look at our passage together. In verse 14 of Matthew 10, it says, "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant to be like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the truth that it gives us. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Help us, Lord, to endure to the end. Help us to persevere when being a disciple is difficult. And Father, we pray for Christians in Nigeria and other places, Lord, that are suffering and are being killed because of their faith in Jesus. And we know and have confidence that even in their loss, Lord, they are your witnesses, and they are sharing the gospel in those places. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I've already cut 2 points off the sermon, so you can relax. So let's look at this locker room talk that Jesus gives his disciples. The first thing I want you to see in verses 14 and 15 is this. Rejecting the good news of Jesus has serious consequences. Rejecting the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, has serious consequences. So look with me in verse 14. He says, if they won't listen to you, shake off the dust of your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Imagine the spiritual responsibility that those disciples realized when they went to be a witness of Jesus to all the towns and villages that Jesus would send them. There would be eternal consequences to their response to the good news of Jesus. He said, if you go somewhere and they reject you, shake the dust from your feet. Now, that was a common insult back then. That insult was, if you were in one place, and for the Jews, if you went into a Gentile area, once you got out of the Gentile area, you would shake the dust off your feet as an insult to the godless people that live in that place. It was an insult to wipe the dust. You don't even want the dust on your feet from that place. Not much of an insult to us, but you see what I'm saying. He says, if you go to a place and they will not receive you or listen to your words. And what were the words? It was the good news of Jesus, right? They were going to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the coming of the kingdom. They were going to call them to repent and believe. They were going to perform miracles to give authenticity to their preaching. And some places would receive them, and some places would reject them. And they weren't really rejecting the apostles, the disciples. They were rejecting who? Jesus. They were rejecting Jesus. I think that's a good thing for us to remember, that when we share the good news of Jesus, people aren't rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus. We don't have to take it real personal, because they're not rejecting us. They are rejecting Jesus. Although, the fact that they reject Jesus makes us sad too, right? Because we want people to know the love of Jesus. We want people to know the complete forgiveness in Jesus, the abundant life, the eternal life that are in Jesus. But he said, if they won't receive you, don't worry about it. Shake the dust off your feet. Don't worry about it. And he says that it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Now, if you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know that Sodom and Gomorrah did not fare well. God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, burnt them down. And it was because of their judgment, God's judgment on their wickedness. And he says that it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the town that rejected the disciples who are bringing the message of Jesus. You see, rejecting the good news of Jesus has serious consequences. It had serious consequences then, and it has serious consequences now. Let's think about this for a moment. If a person rejects Jesus as Savior and Lord now, they face certain judgment and condemnation to hell for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. So how someone responds to the good news of Jesus has eternal consequences. Also, there's some physical consequences. The towns that rejected Jesus, rejected the disciples and the gospel of Jesus, he says they're going to be judged. And it's going to be worse for that town than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's serious. And I believe that Jesus means it. How about you? And so I want you to know that sharing the good news of Jesus and even the rejecting of the good news of Jesus has serious consequences. It's serious. These disciples were not just sharing something from their heart. They were doing eternal work, and the consequences were serious. And this morning, I want you to know that that your relationship with God has serious consequences, either for good or for not good, for eternal life or for eternal judgment. your relationship with God is really important. The most important thing in life is your relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's everything. And so there are serious consequences to rejecting the good news. Listen, church, never reject the good news. And if someone's not a believer, don't reject the good news. There are serious consequences. Second thing I want you to see, I had five, but I'm cutting it down to three. The second thing I want you to see is Jesus said, you may be persecuted. You may be persecuted. So we were down with the healing and the demon chasing, but Jesus is going to tell us that being my disciple is it can be hard. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, we're going to have that on the screen, I think. Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The call to be Jesus' disciple, there are definitely great things that come of that. But along with that is, for many and most people, is some difficulty. Being a Christian can be costly. When Jesus said what he said, he was telling people who knew what a cross was for that if they wanted to be his disciple, they needed to be prepared to carry their cross along with him. They needed to be willing and ready to carry their cross too. And I think sometimes that churches miss that message is we tell everybody the benefits of becoming a Christian. And there are many, and I highly recommend it to everybody. There's no other way to live. But sometimes we forget or we leave out that the Christian life is difficult. There can be hardship. There can be difficulty that go along with it. But let me be clear. Everybody looking at me. Some of you are looking at the back of your eyelids. I can tell. It's worth it. No matter what you go through in this life for Jesus is worth it. Amen? So here he says, look at this. He says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Great. Right? So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and to the Gentiles. This pep talk has just taken a dark turn, hasn't it? Maybe the disciples were like, you know, there was another teacher I saw over there. Maybe I should sign up with him. I don't know. But he tells them that they may be persecuted. And you and I, we are persecuted in some ways. But in China, there are thousands of Christians in prison, thousands of Christians doing hard labor. There are millions of Christians that have been killed because they refuse to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. These are not criminal people. These are people of faith in Jesus Christ. They are not dying because they're guilty. They are dying because they're innocent. And China does this all the time. Nigeria, like I've been mentioning, modern day, it doesn't get reported in the news very much, but watch for it. Or even look for it, and you'll see that thousands of Nigerians have been killed just in the last few months, to the point that our president sent over some firecrackers to deal with some of those who are persecuting and killing Christians. As a witness, you may suffer persecution. And so he tells them to be wise as serpents, be wise in dealing with those who would persecute you, but be innocent. Don't sin in your persecution. And he tells them what they may face. Deliver you to the courts, flog you, which means to brutally whip you, and dragged before governors and kings. And he says that this is what purpose that serves. He says in verse 18, to bear witness before the Gentiles. Now, this happened during Jesus' time, and it also happened in the time after Jesus had ascended back to heaven, and it has happened throughout church history and is continuing to happen today. This could happen here. We take for granted that we live in a country with freedom, but we could be persecuted in these ways even today. So the purpose is to bear witness. It's not a senseless suffering. It's not a senseless death, but it is to bear witness to those who would persecute. I remember as a child reading a book called The Persecutor, and this guy was involved in persecuting Christians in a Soviet country. And after dragging these people off and seeing them imprisoned and killed, he became a Christian. That's what the purpose serves. Oftentimes, the persecutors, they'll either reject Jesus because of the persecution they see, or they will become Christians themselves. God's good news goes out through the faithfulness of his witnesses. And so we are called to bear witness. He says, look with me in verse 18, the imperative here is bear witness. Wherever you are in your mission field, your home, your work, your school, your neighborhood, your family, wherever you are, that is your mission field. And if you face some persecution, you are to bear witness as his disciple of God's goodness and the salvation to be found in Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I would know what to say if I was ever in a situation like that. I've got good news for you. Jesus said, don't worry about it. He says, remember, he says, they may drag you before governors and kings to bear witness. And someone might say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, look what it says in verse 19. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. Right. Not going to be anxious, right? But look what the promise is. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. God promises that he will give his witnesses the message, the words that they are to say in that moment. That's good news. We won't have time to hire a speechwriter. Some of us aren't good with our words. We stumble through things. Some of us are, you know, we're willing to be witnesses, but we are reluctant witnesses, you know. I'm here on Team Jesus, but I don't know what to say. I don't know the cheer. But the Bible says right here, Jesus said that he would provide the words. If you're ever in a persecution pickle, he will give you the words. Now, I want you to know, I actually claim this verse at other times. I ask God, and I want to encourage you to do the same. When you're in a situation you don't know what to say, ask God for help. You may be doing that anyway. You're maybe already doing a 911 spiritually. But not only when you face persecution, but in other times, sometimes I'm invited to speak to a group or pray at a thing or talk to someone. I don't know what to say sometimes. And I just say, Lord, please give me the words. I am listening to your spirit. I am available. I want to say what you would have me say. Please help me. And I believe that God honors that prayer, don't you? But here's good news. If you're ever faced in a situation where you're to bear witness before kings and authorities, God's going to give you the words. All right, so I cut two parts off there. But in verses 21 through 23, he tells us that, again, how hard it can be. Look at verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, the father his child, the children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. You say, being a Christian means nobody's going to like me? And that's a possibility. And some of you may already be in that place where you have friends and people who reject you, who don't include you in things because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And certainly throughout early church history and even on to today, there were times in church history when people were hated and persecuted, just like this says. And even, as I mentioned, in China, Nigeria, and many other places, they are experiencing the severity of this very truth. And what is his encouragement here in the locker room in Galilee? He says, endure to the end. Even though everybody may hate you, even though you lose friends and relationships, even if it's very costly to be my disciple, he says, endure to the end. Hang on and endure. And then he gives them the very practical instruction. If they persecute you in one town, go to the next. Don't quit. Just go on to the next. If they reject you in one place, don't give up. Keep going. And I think that has something that has a great application for us today. If you share the good news with someone in your life and they don't become a Christian, don't give up. Don't say, it must not be my gift to be a personal evangelist. Go on to the next person. Don't give up. Endure to the end. Some of us give up way too easily, don't we not? When things get a little hard, we give up. When things get a little costly, we give up. When things become a little inconvenient, we give up. When we get people that don't like us, we give up. Jesus says, endure to the end. And he says, go on to the next town. And then finally, I can't believe I'm going to get through this. Finally, in verse 24, he says, remember, this is how they treated me. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, and that is, Beelzebul was the prince of darkness, the prince of demons, Satan, let's say. If they have called Jesus master of the house of the devil, and they did call him the devil, they did say he had a demon, how much more will they malign those of his household? If they call Jesus, if they said Jesus had a demon, how much more are they going to say his disciples have a demon or is a demon? And Jesus encourages us. I want to show you a couple of passages real quick. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. And this is Jesus talking about these very words in a different setting. He says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. It's part of being a disciple. A disciple is a follower, a student, and that's what we are of Jesus. Verse 19, and if you were of the world would love you, right? As one of its own. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Continue. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Does that sound familiar? How about Matthew chapter 10? If they, verse 21, persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. So if you are the disciple that God calls us to be, you're going to face the same kinds of things that your teacher faced. And so some of that is going to be very good and very positive. Some of it is going to be hard and harsh. And he would say, endure and know that I will give you the words. And it's part of taking up your cross. Now, I want to tell you what those silly disciples did. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, they took this to heart. Look at this. Then they left the presence of the council. So some of the apostles were in trouble after Jesus had risen from the dead and had ascended back to heaven. When they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. That's crazy. What is the matter with these people? They had been brought before the authorities and had, I don't remember if they got flogged or what happened to them. And when they left, they were depressed and gave up and went to find a new teacher. No. It says, go back to the first slide of that, please, verse 40. They left rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. I think they took Jesus' words to heart, don't you? Who does that? Who does that? No one except a disciple of Jesus Christ who would say, that was miserable, what we just went through, but it means that we are Jesus' disciples. They are treating us just like they treated him. And so it was an honor to be counted among the disciples of Jesus. Now, I don't want to come across as being down, discouraged in any way this morning, but the truth is the Christian life can be hard. It can be much harder than what we have experienced in our setting, but it's worth it. And God uses it for his glory and for the spreading of the gospel. Listen to me, church. Anything we experience and suffer here is absolutely worth being a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. It may not feel like it. There may be times when you have weakness and doubt, but it's absolutely worth it. Even though it can be hard, the best thing you could do with you this morning is to repent of your sin and believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.